Good afternoon, and welcome back to We the People Radio. This is the second hour of March 3rd, 2019. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Team Power. Team Power is our local Kubota tractor dealer. Biggest one north of Sacramento, I think.
Wow.
I think. No, got a lot of tractors down there.
As far as you know.
As far as I know, yeah. Feels like it. Yeah, go down and see
really
them. 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. They have lots of tractors in the lot. They're coming in every day, pretty much every size and shape you can imagine. Got some big cleanup to do, limbs down, fire damage, lots of stuff. Go down and buy a new tractor and get it done in half the time. Their phone number is 226-9226, or you can get them on the web at readingtractors.com.
Parts, sales, service.
They do it all.
Everything.
Yep, good guys.
Okay. So our program today is The Real South Africa. This is part 9 in our series. We have no end point for the series, by the way, so we're happy that the numbering system that we've adopted as a society is infinite. It's going to work really well for our purposes. And South Africa doesn't seem to be getting fixed anytime soon, so I do believe we might have to push the limits of that infinite numbering system. So we always call it The Real South Africa. I give you the part number, 9, and then we give you a little context for the actual program. And today is the South African crisis has reached the U.S. border. And our guest is Dr. Harry Booyens. I will not go into his whole bio again for the people who listened, who were smart listeners and listened to the first hour first. But he is a PhD defense and aerospace physicist, originally from South Africa, and his family has been there for over 360 years. So we're not just, you know, talking about stuff we're definitely not talking about stuff we saw on CNN. That's not one of the choices. Or what is it? MSLSD, I think is what Mark Levin calls it.
Yeah, MSLSD.
couldn't be a better moniker. But just for people's reference, this is a weighty subject. There's a lot of information. I wouldn't ask you to just, you know, believe us. Don't believe us. You should believe Dr. Booyens, but okay, so you don't want to believe him. You should get his book. His book is amazing, and it's massive. It's 4 pounds, we learned. I always joke and say it takes 2 men and a boy to carry it, but it is a serious book. It's Amabulu, Amabhulu, The Birth and Death of the Second America, and it is heavily footnoted in research. There's nothing, again, where you just have to, you know, believe them. Just opinions, listed opinions. Nobody writes 4 pounds of opinion. Well, I guess they might. I think I've been to dinner with some of those people sometimes. I think we all have a picture in our head. The guy with the 4 pounds of opinion.
No, it's definitely facts of you could use this for a textbook in any school to learn the truth about South Africa.
Exactly.
It's all there.
And on today's page, just for people, because, you know, we always run out of time, but the crisis in South Africa, there's quite a bit of information. I took all that he sent me and put it in a PDF. So if you want to read that, I put the pictures in the PDF. I couldn't get them to be on the website. It was just, I don't know, the website wouldn't do it. So you have documents for that, and the YouTube clips that we have played thus far are also listed on the site. So wethepeopleradio.us is where all of that information resides. You're free to do whatever you like with it. We'll post a commercial-free archive this afternoon, and I hope you will send it to friends, family, and other people who care about what happens to folks in the world. If you're sick of all that scintillating discussion about Michael Cohen, you might want to move over to an actual issue that affects real people that has real weight. All right. That being said, where would you like to go at this point?
Is that a question to me?
Of course, because, you know, we're we're just hanging out.
I thought I could make my way down some of the points that were posted on your website in that long, I don't know what to call it, treatise that I wrote that you posted on my behalf.
And it was quite good, by the way.
And
as always.
I sort of mentioned that I warned the world in 2014. Now, I have several, you know, friends in the United States, and a number of them are folks with radio channels. And even as I sat here now, my email went bing, 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 as Trump would say, behind me. And it's another team that wants me on the air on their radio station.
Good.
So the word is clearly getting out. But you know, there's a couple of things that bedevil us in South Africa. Number one, I'll be the first to say our hands are not clean. There were things that happened that I in no way am prepared to defend and don't feel good about. But nothing that I think is in the category of let's kill one another. But there are things that they're in the United States, and you guys have been, as a nation, you've been wholly, utterly, and completely misled. And the thing that made it clear to me, or most clear to me, was in 2013, somewhere in December, when Nelson Mandela died. That following morning, I'm standing in my lounge, the TV's going, and there's one of those two ladies that they have with a surname Baldwin. One is Baldwin and the other one is Baldwin. One of the two Baldwins was on as the host, and she had a chap that he was American, definitely, whom she interviewed, and they'd obviously grabbed who they could find quickly and got this gentleman who very coherently told her, but Mandela's organization was branded a terrorist organization by the United States. And the Baldwin girlie's face crumpled into a frown, and I thought her jaw was going to go right through the desk.
How dare he?
You know, and that's when I realized, good Lord Harry, you're facing 330 million people who honestly don't know, who truly, honestly, innocently do not know the truth. If somebody that has the role of being a news host on CNN is shocked at hearing that, then something is deeply, deeply, deeply and profoundly wrong. Because none other than everybody's hero, Ronald Reagan, put them on the terrorist list. And now they're the government in South Africa. And nobody seems to think twice. They just say it in the same breath. and they're surprised that South Africa is not a little piece of heaven, you know. If you say the word South Africa to most Americans, they hear, you know, they see angels and hear violins playing.
It's all been fixed. It's all been righted.
Yeah. And that is why that little brief little thing on the back cover of my book, where I say that the West is still congratulating itself about getting rid of apartheid. Can I respectfully ask that the West gets over itself?
I wish you would, and put a little force behind it.
You know, it's just, you screwed up, okay? Admit it. You screwed up. Go look in the mirror. The West screwed up. You picked the pig in the picture and you made them the boss. That's what you did.
Yeah, it's certainly not the first time that's happened.
I was going to say, who could have seen that coming?
And that's why the whole thing starts off by the West has suddenly realized, oops, you know, dropping democracy like an injection or an inoculation left, right, and center in the world doesn't work. It was tried in Libya. Look what happened there. Okay. And I hate to have to confess this, but old Muammar Gaddafi was correct when he said that the people in the east of the country were Al-Qaeda. Those are the people who eventually killed your ambassador. But nobody heard him saying that earlier on.
No.
Okay, I heard it because I know what to look for and to listen for. But apparently no one else heard it. And I'm sure I can find that clip again if I went looking for it, where he's interviewed and he says, the people in the east at Benghazi, that's Al-Qaeda.
Well, and if you really want to look at it, as we go, as you had termed it, bestowing democracy upon the places around the world, we're actually descending into tribalism here in the U.S. So it's kind of like, well, that's confusing. I hate to say this. I don't know what's going on. Are we in some sort of time machine? But we have to take another break. What the heck?
That's fine.
Capitalism's wonderful, but it's very intrusive today. I'm finding it annoying. not in an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez way. Not like that. It's Harold Thought. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. You're listening to We the People. Join us online. WeThePeopleRadio.us. Times. It was from a big soccer thing. And I know so much about soccer, I should stop talking right now about it. Everything I know about soccer, I know just from that little 30 seconds of that song. So I'm looking at your list, and one thing, Harry, that we should remind people who are not actually on the site reading along with us, but that Ramaphosa is the protege and the favorite child of Nelson Mandela, who has since been revealed to have been the central member of the Politburo and of the South African Communist Party.
Yeah, and I was going to talk a little bit about that.
Yes, good. I hope you will.
Because, I talk about it and people might think I'm flippant or very prejudiced.
It's okay. You'll always look less flippant than we will, so we're going to make you look good.
thank you, ma'am.
We live to be at the bottom rung.
it's probably around about this point where I need to put my usual disclaimer in that says I trust folks will forgive my sometimes somewhat acid-dripping, ironic, sarcastic sense of humor. That's our defense mechanism down there. A South African without a sense of humor is a dead South African. So we tend to defend ourselves with irony and sarcasm. So what I did is I provided three links that show you three ways of looking at Mandela. The first link was an article around 2012 where the sort of regular media is dodging like crazy about whether he's a communist or not. And I give the link where folks can see that. And then the second little link is an article by a post-apartheid Afrikaner author, Rian Malan, who won all manner of prizes. I'm under the impression I don't know what prize he won, but he's an international prize-winning author. And he analyzed that in 2014, a couple of weeks after the death of Mandela, and you can look at that, and it's he who identified Richard Stengel as the culprit that messed with the facts in Mandela's books or in Mandela's autobiography. I'll come back to Richard Stengel. And the third link I provide, all in a little bundle, is the actual South African Communist Party itself admitting Mandela's Politburo membership. Basically on the night of his death. So it's not as though we have to speculate. It's not as though we have to connive and contrive. It's not as though we have to extrapolate or exaggerate. In the end, all you need to do is look at what the Communist Party says, paragraph 5 of the link I provide. That's their official release where they confess he was at the heart of their party all the time. Mm-hmm. So this was not a revelation to ordinary South Africans, but apparently it has been to the United States. Okay. When I mentioned that to a Canadian friend recently, he said, "Who cares?" Okay, who cares?
Wow.
The significance of the South African Communist Party. This is not like this little Ocasio-Cortez girlie who woke up one morning and heard a word, then looked it up in the dictionary and said, "Oh, cool, it's called sharing alike. They call it socialism. Let me play with that." Okay? It's not something like that. The South African Communist Party was founded way back in 20. It's one of the oldest communist parties on earth. Please do not be fooled here. It's one of the very oldest parties. It was originally founded largely on expatriate folks from the Baltic states, particularly Lithuania, and on expatriate Welsh coal miners. Now, the coal miners were very hard done by in Britain, the Welsh coal miners, and certainly the Tsar's pogroms in the Baltic states were bad. So I can understand folks were upset. Okay? The founding organizations, I actually list the groupings of people who got together in South Africa to create that party. I'm not going to read them all out in detail now, but that data comes directly out of the book by Davidson and Apollos, who investigated the matter of South Africa and the Communist International. And they go back to an era where I need to share with you that, for example, in the Boer War between us and the Brits, there was quite a contingent of Russians who came to help us. So way, 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 way back before people played with communism, the Russians actually helped us against the Brits. They sent ambulance groups, for example. And one of them, Yevgeny Maximov, became the general of the foreign brigade in South Africa fighting on Boer side against the Brits. Okay. Now, that foreign brigade also contained Americans at the time. So we're talking 1900 here. So it's not as though there's some sort of an ingrained racial hatred against Russians or anything like that. But I should mention that Lithuanian influence I mentioned, that's still around. When people put that word Amabulu into Google, and they keep finding my name left, right, and center, the book, the blog, etc., etc. In the middle of all of that, you'll see a YouTube video which is not mine. It is an old South African Broadcasting Corporation video that somebody put online, and it shows Mandela singing "Kill the Whites," Bulala Amabulu. Next to him stands a man in a green shirt with his bald fist in the air. He's a white guy and he's singing "Kill the Whites." And his name is Ronnie Kasrils. And Ronnie Kasrils was at that point the leader of the military wing of the ANC, and he'd been trained to the level of brigadier in Odessa by the Soviet army. And that used to be on his bio on the internet. I see they've rethunk that and kind of removed the Odessa bit now. But just go back in history on Google and you'll find it in the earlier versions. Now, here's the interesting bit. In 1927, a man named James Laguma became the first black South African communist to visit the Communist International Organization in the Soviet Union. On his very next visit, he took with him Josiah Gumede, the president of the African National Congress, the ANC, the group that's now the government in South Africa. You understand how far back this goes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, none of this is new.
Okay. So none of this is new. We've lived with this for like a century now, okay, or going on a century. The people think we have a democracy down there. I guess on paper, it passes for a democracy, probably as much as what North Korea passes for one. The country is de facto governed outside the parliament by a thing called the Tripartite Alliance. And that alliance is between the ANC party, which contests elections, supposedly as part of this decrepit democracy. The Communist Party, that does not contest elections, but has an automatic home inside the ANC, and its members get to have some of the seats that the ANC has. And the third party involved in this tripartite alliance is the South African Congress of Trade Unions. But you need to read black trade unions, not white ones. Mm. That is just the way it is in South Africa. So, as I put it here, the Communist Party does not contest elections. It just basically festers in the middle of the ANC and provides the brains trust. So the decisions all get made outside parliament, and then they go back to parliament where the ANC has a 67% share of the house, and then they just rubber stamp it there, and they all yell and scream and whistle and stomp their feet. That's it. That's government in South Africa. So please don't tell me that it is a democracy where white people, the fact that they can vote makes no damn difference.
Sounds like California.
Northern California.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the Californian liberals would love that system, because mm-hmm. that's the way they're arguing. Now, you do all of this, you go through all of this, and I put here that there's no real democracy in South Africa. It's utterly irrelevant. Parliament makes excellent YouTube entertainment, though. You can watch it almost daily because there is some or other complete balls up on in the parliament. Of the time, you're gonna break your gut laughing at these guys, okay? Of course, there's a few deluded whites that's clinging to the bench. The somewhat naive belief that they're actually doing something useful beyond filling YouTube channels. But here's the thing. When you now hear that history, that party history of the ANC, the guys who run the country now, the guys who want to take all the land. Number one, you shouldn't be surprised that they want to nationalize the land. I mean, that's what communists are about. But here's the interesting bit. A black South African farmer recently sued the ANC government for title to his land. Now, that makes interesting reading.
Doesn't sound like a real healthy thing to do.
No.
Yeah, but do you know how badly that plays for the ANC mm-hmm. when a very black farmer sues the very black government for title to his land because the government is trying to write the law so they can steal the land from whites?
Sure.
So, you know, guys like me are cackling their heads off at this, you know, just... it's so ironic, it's a godsend. And there's also another event that's happened in the recent past, but maybe we should have the next break before I go to that.
You're reading my mind. Thanks for that. All right, we'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Harry Bullions, and we're discussing South Africa.
Who's to say I can't do everything, well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with them.
On turning, I don't know where I'll be tomorrow.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. My. For tomorrow.
And we're back. All right. And Ashley said you had something that you would like to read at the end, so you'll have to just give us the high sign when you want to do that. She's in a different room Skyping with you.
Where I've got the exit to the program sorted out here.
Perfect.
Just a throwaway comment here for what it's worth. All this stuff about South Africa, there was a time when I guess people saw me as being alarmist. My book came out in early 2014, and at that stage, certainly some of them said, sketches a dark picture of the future that does not have to happen, etc. I agree it doesn't have to happen.
Too late.
But I'm saying it's inevitably going to. And here it is. I mean, it's at your border. And here's the thing. In looking around at some of this stuff, I stumbled yesterday over something called the Tri-State Livestock News. Have you ever heard of the Tri-State Livestock News?
I have not.
Good, nor have I. But the Tri-State Livestock News is an online newspaper for the farming community. And I don't know which tri-state it exactly refers to, because there are many tri-state kind of operations.
Sure.
Okay. But, and it's very local, you know, it's like, where do you buy your tractor and where do you buy your feedstock for next year and all that kind of stuff. And it is reporting with great specifics on the horror in South Africa. So, I think that means we've moved past the point where folks can claim ignorance because they didn't see it on CNN. And matters have already moved way beyond the point that they're actually talking about in that article. So I just wanted to give a shout out to the Tri-State Livestock News. Thank you, folks, for actually picking up on the truth in South Africa and having the guts to print it. Most folks don't have that guts. Like I said earlier, just say the word racist and most folks I know will drop their shoes and run like hell. There's another aspect here that I think is worth pointing at, and that's the fact that South Africa is a sort of a window on the future of the United States, and the place has been a canary in the coal mine for the West for a long time. In the 20th century, I think I've already said, it was to Africa what the USA was to the wider world. But just as people tried to get into the USA by any means, just so black people braved man-eating lions to get into apartheid South Africa while their own governments attacked South Africa night and day. They were told the white guys were racist pigs and the South African black people could fundamentally do no wrong, even when Mandela's men bombed the apartment complex where my mother lived. And there's a picture on your website now of what it looks like when you kill children. So, but all of this, while this was happening, while my own family was being bombed and children were being carried out covered in blood, there were violence playing in the formal U.S. media. And, you know, at that point, that formal media was the only source of news, so the truth had no chance. Now it's different. Now there are people like you, there's people like the Tri-State Livestock News, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Now, in the 1980s, while South Africa was still being run by Western people, I don't care of what color, Robert Mugabe to the north remained well behaved. But the moment those civilized men lost control of their country, under Western pressure, I remind you, Mugabe showed his true colors. But the West lost interest. And it, like I said, ran at the first mention of the word racist. The biblical Pontius Pilate in the form of Britain looked on in silence at what was happening, having washed its hand, frozen in total terror at the possibility of being called racist. Now, Mugabe's world, the one that the BBC struggled so much to report on, has now arrived in South Africa. And the world can see what now happens under such an onslaught to people who know how to efficiently and effectively run things. For example, advanced economies, sophisticated industries, advanced financial institutions. South Africa had, in my opinion, probably the most advanced financial system in the world in the 1990s. High-tech establishments, complex networked infrastructure, water systems, electricity supplies, communication systems, not to mention sewage, which is now also failing. So the country's infrastructure is collapsing. There's now electricity blackouts rolling like the Egyptian plagues over the country. And crime's completely out of hand. Raw sewage is spilling into the Vaal River. And white people live in fear of their lives daily. And all of this is still happening to never-ending violent music from the mainstream media, still patting themselves on the back for having lied apartheid out of existence 29 years ago. And they cannot get suitably over themselves to see the truth. And, you know, I've suggested perhaps a CNN reporter has to have the dead and broken body of a tortured white farmer draped over his shoulders to notice. And then he probably still wouldn't report. He'd probably likely say the guy fell.
Right.
And sorry for my frustration. I don't know how to phrase it better. One might very well ask, you know, so if you are Western oriented and you share the values that any reasonable American has and you happen to have a black skin in Africa, does that, are you going to be okay? Well, a few weeks ago, a black landowner in South Africa discovered his farm had been invaded by what he thought were squatters. So he went to investigate that someone had put up a corrugated iron shack from which that person was selling portions of the farmer's land at around $45 a piece. They chased the owner away, and when he went back there, he was eventually offered a 20 by 20 yard piece of his own land for free. That's a pretty, pretty good deal, don't you think? So, that was my reaction as well. You know, you look at this and you want to laugh your head off, you know, but this is not funny to the guys who are running the shed selling the lots. They think this is the right thing to do because Malema tells them so. He says the white people steal this land, they must give it back. Okay?
And do they know? I never assume, because I know that there are plenty of Americans who don't know American history. So do the people in South Africa, especially the black contingent in South Africa, are they just playing along with this, or are there a lot of people just taken in by the rhetoric and they really don't know their own history either?
They don't know the history, but what have they got to lose?
Right. It's working out for them so far.
It's working out just fine for them. The government's stealing on their behalf. You remember the old story about why it is that democracy is self-limiting? When people finally discover they can vote all the benefits for themselves, then they're going to vote themselves right out of an economy?
Right.
Okay.
And then there's that inconvenient part about when they run out of other people's money, or in this case,
yes,
other people's property.
That was Maggie Thatcher. That's a fantastic quote, that one.
Yeah, and in this case, they're going to run out of their own food because the land they're stealing, it's not like they can operate it as a farm, and we don't have to go into that whole thing. But for people who are just kind of tuning into this whole idea, the land's being taken from farmers, being given to other people who don't know how to farm, so that's not being farmed. It's becoming more and more desolate, and I hope you go back in previous programs we've done with Dr. Booyans, and he's got like views from Google Earth that'll totally prove that. So you don't have to take his word for it. Just, you know, follow along.
Here's the ironic bit. This is why you have to have such a sense of humor to live there. So this guy, whose land was invaded, a shack put on it to sell off his own land at $45 for a piece, and to which he was offered a 20 by 20 yard patch for free of his own property. A friend of his, in a stroke of ironic genius, suggested that he seek the help of the White Afrikaner Civil Rights Organization. Okay, so now that's us, the horrible white enemy, right?
Right.
According to the government. According to the government, we're the horrible white enemy who stole the land. Okay. AfriForum took the case, got a court order, and then to physically remove the invading squatters, they got the help of a private security operation called the Red Ants. You could do yourselves a great favor. Just put the word Red Ants, Red Ants, and then South Africa into Google, and you'll be amazed. Okay, so these are people who are otherwise looking for a job And this guy came up with the idea of you'll create an organization where you can get a job at basically minimum wage, and your job is to remove people who are acting outside the law. You go there with the police do nothing because they never will do anything. They're completely useless. They got the job. Why should they do it? And so these private contractors with the Red Ants, they do the job. So the Red Ants remove these people from the property, took the shacks away and everything because the police had refused to do anything. The black landowner was lucky. The of white asylum seekers that we started the show with, he was assaulted by the police when he went to ask their help. That's what he claims. I'm inclined to believe
him. Wow.
Because I know of other such events. But I leave it to your Customs and Border Patrol to decide whether he's lying.
Well, it's interesting because I did do a little search, not through Google because I hate them, but anyway, through another thing. And I get, like through the BBC news, it says South Africa's many thousands of squatters live in fear of a security firm called the Red Ants, known for their ruthless approach to evictions. But then you could go to the Red Ants website. Red Ants Security Relocation and Eviction Services, aka Red Ants, is a multidisciplinary company offering services in the agricultural sector, build environment, farming, security, and sanitation. The company was founded by local entrepreneurs to support the social, economic, and infrastructure developments required of South Africa.
They're just trying
to help.
Oh,
my gosh.
They're there to help.
That's fantastic.
And, yeah. And both statements are true.
Yeah.
Welcome to South Africa.
Wow.
The only way you can get rid of somebody who's stolen your land is to get the Red Ants.
Yeah, this isn't really just from... I haven't even clicked on the links, and I can already tell by reading... That I don't believe they're going to help you get your land back. Let's take one last quick break so that we can make sure we fit in the things you want to do in the last segment here. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Okay, Dr. Billions, you've got a paragraph for us, eh?
Yeah, I wanted to do two things. The one is a paragraph I would like to share with you guys as a closing statement.
We have 9 minutes, but still, I know how that always goes.
Yeah.
It's like nine minutes feels like one.
So before that, I just wanted to say that I think one way that Americans can view South Africa is it is essentially Barack Obama's America on steroids. He was very open about how inspired he was by South Africa. He even appointed Mandela's ghostwriter to his administration. The country's like a huge, giant petri dish in which the woes of the Western world are nurtured and can grow and metastasize rapidly. So you can therefore go there and study those woes like a bug under a microscope because it's in your face. That's the thing about South Africa. Everything's in your face. The weather is wonderful. The nature is wonderful. Everything is always somehow more clear there because nobody's politically correct, right?
Right. Okay. How magical.
It's a place where civilization has lost control of the country. So my comment to Americans is, rather than wait for a socialist government in the United States, which will steal thousands of dollars from you, kill your culture and your future, and defraud you of your heritage, you can just spend $1,500 now and go and see as a non-tourist. go see South Africa as a non-tourist. Spend a week on a farm with a family there.
I was going to say, and be sure to go on the farm tour.
Spend a week on a farm with a family there, or with someone in a small town in the east of the country. It's bound to cure you of all your delusions. It will in particular cure you of any liberal white guilt psychosis that seems to afflict the USA. Okay? So.
And we've got plenty of that.
So, my comment is, my predictions were not correct because I'm clairvoyant or brilliantly intelligent. I'm neither. It's because I come from South Africa, where the vicious reality is in your face, morning, noon, and night. One doesn't need much intelligence or clairvoyance to know what's going to happen. Okay? Now, I've even had some criticism because I keep talking to Americans about all of this. All my life, I've had an unshakable faith in the basic good judgment of Americans. And it's actually a Democrat friend of mine who you can blame for that. And I really do believe that two documents underpin everything that really matters in the West. And the one is the Bible, and the other one is the U.S., the preamble to the U.S. Declaration of Independence. Now, my comment to you is that... There's a history here, and I want to share that history with you in the last couple of minutes that remain here. I've got it under the title of "We Brought Our Side, and Now Our Hour of Need Is Arrived." Ever since 1914, my folks have reported for duty in the hour of need of the West. In World War I, when the Allies needed help, my South African family was there. We flew the airplanes. We did the dying. My wife's family lost members in the Battle of the Somme. You can look it up on the internet. Battle of Delville Forest. Jan Smuts, an Afrikaans kid like me, or Smuts, I should say, an Afrikaner kid like me, helped Britain and insisted on the creation of the world's first independent air force, the Royal Air Force. You had an ordinary Afrikaner boer like me is the guy that you can accuse of forming the British Royal Air Force, okay?
Cool.
In World War II, when the Allies needed help, we were there. My father-in-law flew his Spitfire Mark 9 to protect U.S. and British ground troops in Italy. For his pains, he was shot down twice by the Germans. Second time, he damaged his back permanently. My youngest great-uncle was a dispatch rider in Italy after helping to defeat Rommel in Africa. An Afrikaner kid like myself, by the name of Sailor Malan is a very standard Afrikaans surname, was one of Britain's most famous air aces in the Battle of Britain. I believe he eventually held the U.S. Top Gun School at Miramar as well. He had such an effect that even today, you can buy online scale models of Sailor Malan and his pet dog. Okay? You can actually buy them today.
Wow.
That's the effect he had.
That's pretty cool.
And for what it's worth, that same Jan Smuts that I talked about before, who was Prime Minister of South Africa, it was formally suggested by Churchill's personal secretary to the king at the time, that if Churchill should die, that Jan Smuts, the Afrikaner boer kid like me, should be made the wartime Prime Minister of Great Britain. That he was the only guy who could keep that job down. Okay, apparently the idea. When the U.S. asked for help in Korea, our veteran World War II pilots were there. They flew as part of the U.S. forces, first in P-51 Mustangs. But while those were great for shooting down Messerschmitts in World War II, they were pathetic at ground attack because those fancy radiators of theirs could only take one shot and then the airplane would overheat. So we lost a lot of guys in those Mustangs. And later they flew F-86 Sabres. I still saw those same Sabres in the town where I grew up when I was like 4 or 5 years old. And here's the bit that few people know. Policy Order Number 13 of the 18th United States Air Force Fighter Bomber Wing in Korea required that the first few bars of the South African anthem be played before the U.S. anthem. And this was done, quote, in memory of our gallant South African comrades. 34 South African flying cheetahs gave their lives in that process, flying with South African markings on their planes under the U.S. flag. And my comment to you guys, sorry if it sounds a bit poetic, but I think it's appropriate. Now is the hour of our need, and we beg you hear our cry.
Well, we definitely need to get the word out on this. I mean, it's
just can't be relayed to people enough. It just can't. There's no way that this just resolves itself. You know.
I suggest folks go and see that article on your website, that they click on those links. Please, I'm a physicist. I'm not some sort of a political hack. I dealt all my life with facts and evidence. I do patents for a living for folks. I can't mess around with nonsense. My job is to make sure of truth, facts, and reality. I do not drag stuff onto your airwaves that I cannot substantiate. Okay?
Yes, I think, honestly, we've been doing this since 2010, so we're into the... I mean, we're almost a decade of having different people on this program. And I can safely say, of all the people that we have had on, you by far have the most extensive documentation backing up what you're discussing. We haven't had anybody come even close.
My life has not allowed me anything else. That is why my book is so long. I had to make sure that I don't have fictitious characters in there. That's why I had to make sure that each one was in my family tree, so that I was talking about real people who really lived. This rubbish really happened to them.
Well, it's we thank you for that. And I did have a request from someone who called the studio, wanted us to spell your last name. So that spelling is B like boy, O-O-Y-E-N-S. So,
for those who want to know, that is a very old German surname from the southern end of Denmark, northern end of Germany, north of Hamburg, and there's a lot of them still there. There's a lot of Boyens people there. And my first ancestor of that name arrived in South Africa in 1713. It is not a common surname, but it is a South African one very distinctly.
Very interesting. And Dr. Bouyan's website is cliffwoodfog.com, so it's CLIFFWOODFOGGE.com. The fog part's the tricky part, but cliffwoodfog.com, and you just have so much information available for people, and, if you're driving or, jumping rope or whatever you're doing listening, if you would like to catch up on all of that, you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. And today's date is March 3rd, 2019. We've listed programs going back to May of last year. So we've got to jump off, and we will look forward to part 10 on The Real South Africa.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Dr. Harry Boons. We'll talk to you guys next week. We're doing China next week.